I went to seminary at SMU in Dallas at the Perkins School of Theology 30 years ago, long time ago. We didn't have classes on Mondays, which I thought was a pretty good deal. There were enough local pastors who were serving churches in and around Dallas and in and around Arkansas that who had worship services on Sunday night or meetings on Sunday afternoon, and so they had no classes on Monday. If you arrange your schedule just right, you only had to go to class on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which I thought was pretty good, right? Except those were really long classes during those days. For the first 2 years of seminary, I lived in Perkins' dorm. Perkins was a part of what we called affectionately the God Quad at SMU. The God Quad. All the quad, all part of that campus where the theology school was. The chapel was there. The library, one of the libraries was there. And the classroom rooms where we had our classes. Now, I lived in Perkins' dorm. And then I did an internship, and when I went back after my internship, Susie and I were married, and so we lived off campus. But for 2 years, I lived in Perkins Hall on the campus of Southern Methodist University. There were rooms up and down the hallways. Imagine just a regular dormitory situation, right, choir? I mean, there were rooms up and down the hallways. There were bathrooms in the middle, and down near the end of the hall was a kitchenette where you could cook meals if you so chose to do so. We got to be friends, all of us who lived on the third floor at Perkins Hall. We would eat together. We would study together. We would go to class together, and we would even just have a good time together, get to know each other. One of my good friends to this day is a pastor named Clarence Guy. Clarence served a church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he would come in on Monday night, and he would fly out on Thursday night. Back in those days, Southwest Airlines was the only airline that flew in and out of Love Field. Y'all might remember that, right? And so Clarence asked me one day, would you take me to the airport on Thursday nights, and would you pick me up on Monday nights? And I said, yeah, I could do that. I mean, we were friends, and so I decided that I would do that. Here's a detail you'll need to know. At the time when I wasn't in seminary, I lived in Tennessee. Tennessee is east of Arkansas, correct? Right, okay. So I got in the car. I picked up Clarence. We put his bags in the back of my car, and we started making our way to the seminary. And Clarence says, John, this year we cannot have a Christmas play at our church. And I said, Clarence, I'm sad to hear that. Why not? Tennessee is east of Arkansas, right? Clarence said, we could not find any wise men from the east. It's a true story. I said, Clarence, if you get out of my car now, you might be able to walk back to campus in about 30 minutes. This morning, we won't have any trouble at all finding the wise men. You can find them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, before we get too deep into our scripture lesson for today, I want to say that I'm not going to ruin your manger scene. Okay, choir? Some believe Jesus was 2 years old by the time the wise men arrived. Don't believe that. Or maybe you want to believe that. Some believe that when the wise men arrived, they asked Herod, Scripture says, where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? Child? Surely? Baby. Where's the baby who's been born king of the Jews, right? After the royal Bible study, it was revealed where the child was, and they went there, and Matthew says they entered the house. House? No, manger scene. That's part of our story. That's part of learning what this is all about. But now that all that nonsense is out of the way, seriously, I want us to take a deeper look at this lesson today. Matthew, as I've already said, is the only gospel writer who records the story of the wise men. He hardly mentions the birth of Jesus. He says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that's what you get. Matthew doesn't give us shepherds or angels. Matthew doesn't give us the innkeeper and the no vacancy sign that's flashing. He doesn't give us any of that, but he spends a significant amount of time telling us about the wise men and the star that they followed. Barbara Brown Taylor, who's an Episcopal priest, said this once, "So much has been made of this story about which we know so little about. The Bible says that they were from the east. Well, where in the east? We don't know. He doesn't tell us how many the wise men were, though we might guess three, because there were three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe there was a fourth wise man who says, I didn't know we were bringing gifts. I mean, I don't know. Someone wrote, maybe you'll appreciate this, that if the wise men had been wise women, they would have stopped and asked for directions. They would have been on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned out the stable and offered a casserole and given more practical gifts. What do we know about the wise men? Some have said that they were astrologers. Some call them kings, magi. We know that they watched the sky, and we know that when a star appeared in the sky as bright as this star, it was a sign from God that a king had been born. And they saw that star, and they were compelled to follow it. And so they set out. And they stopped at the first place that they thought that a king would be born, the palace in Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage. Homage simply means respect and honor and worship. Homage. It's what you do to newborn kings. Matthew tells us that Herod heard this and he was frightened. And he says that all of Jerusalem was also frightened with him. And so Herod called a holy Bible study. He called in choir all the chief priests and the scribes. And he said, search the scriptures. Is there anything in the scriptures about this? And they said, yes. It's in the prophecy of Micah, where it says, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Shepherd. Did you hear that? Sometimes we call Jesus the good shepherd. Trying to keep all of this quiet, Herod secretly called for the wise men and said, go and find the child. And when you do, come back by here on your way home so that I too can go and worship him. I want to stop here for just a moment. I want to point this out to you. Nature, nature led the wise men to Jerusalem in that star, right? Nature did. Scripture led them to Bethlehem. Nature led them to Jerusalem. Scripture led them to Bethlehem. You can see beauty in nature, in mountains' grandeur, in a beautiful sunrise, or as the sun comes and hits you in the face here in the sanctuary. But the truth is, if you want answers to life's biggest questions, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. The wise man searched on. They followed that star, and when they, where it stopped over the house where Jesus was, the Bible says they were overwhelmed with joy, and they knelt down, and they gave him his gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So those are the wise men, and those are the gifts that they bring. Kelly, gold, frankincense, and myrrh for a baby. For a baby? Well, these were gifts not for a baby. These were gifts for a king. For a baby, they would have brought hooded towels and little stuffed animals. But to a king, you did give something more significant like gold. Gold was a gift that you would have brought a king upon his coronation. It was a gift that you would have brought a king to honor him. It was something of great worth, and the wise men wanted to give the new king something of great worth, and so they brought him gold. They brought him frankincense. Think about that word, frank, incense. Incense is what would have been offered by a priest. In fact, do you remember a few weeks back when we looked at the story of Zechariah and how he went into the temple for his duty, and he learned there that he was going to be the father, that Elizabeth was going to bear a son? He would have burned incense for it to be his priestly duty. And so they bring Jesus frank incense. Incense meaning that Jesus would be the priest. He would be the one offering prayers on our behalf to God. And then finally, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh. It would have been used 33 years later. Myrrh was a costly resin from a plant that in Jesus' day would have been used to prepare bodies for burial, for his burial. It's a strange gift for a baby, don't you think, choir? But not for a king, and not for this king. This king, Jesus. So those are the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those are the wise men. And they're part of our story, right? I want to say one more thing about them. Now, Jesus hadn't been born yet. 2 more days, right? We'll be thinking about, or 3 more days. Think about Jesus on Christmas. But think about those wise men. The Bible says that they were warned in a dream not to go back to Jerusalem, not to go back to Herod, but to go home using a different road. Y'all know where the parsonage is? I hardly ever take the same road home every day. I like taking a different road home. I'll go around this way or I'll go around that way, and there's more than one way to get home. What I'm saying to you today is, as we leave the Christmas season in just a short period of time, let's not go the same road home. Let's go a different road home. We will remind you that when the Christmas celebration is over, Jesus has been born. Amen? He's been born into our lives. And because he has, we'll be different. So let's go home a new way.